So home. It's found 51 times in the Word of God. It's not what I'm supposed to think of, but I'm just reminded of this. 51 times in the Word. The first one is in connection with a woman, the last one is in connection with a woman, and there's 49 in between. But our little flock has 91 mentions of home. Almost twice as much as we have in the Word. I thought, oh, those brethren, they wrote those hymns. What did they have before? They had before them home. I just love that. Let's just ask the Lord for His help. Our God and our Father, we're so thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're so thankful it's our privilege to be here this evening. We're so thankful for the courage of our brethren here in Aberdeen to invite us here to these meetings. We know that there's a lot of work involved, and so we're so thankful. We just would pray for a special blessing for each of them. And for ourselves too, our God. We're all here with our need. We're all here expecting. And we're expecting blessing or we wouldn't be here. That's why we're here, our God. We just would pray. We earnestly pray, as we have had in the meeting so far, that the blessing would continue. So we ask for thy help now as we would just spend a few minutes in thy precious word, that it would be a time of real profit for us. We ask these things, giving thanks in the worthy and the precious name of that blessed one, our Lord Jesus, whom we await and will soon be home. Amen.
Amen.
So a few months ago, I was in Angola, and I arrived there on a Thursday, and I arrived there, and it was a hot, smoggy day, or a hot, dusty day. And the next day was Friday, it was another hot, dusty day. Saturday I got up, it's another hot, dusty day. Lord's Day, another hot, dusty day. Monday, another hot, dusty day. Tuesday, oh, I love the dust. Why? It rained. It's not the rainy season, but it rained, and it rained hard, and there was mud everywhere. Everywhere you step, the mud would ooze up around your sandals. And as we walked from the street where we were through this village up to where the meeting room was, it was just all mud, just a mess. But we found there was rocks here and there, and there was little tufts of grass where we could step, and that way would be just a little bit higher than the mud. And I thought of that in connection with the world in which we find ourselves. You know, it speaks about Lot. It says about Lot that he fell in the slime pits. The men of Sodom and the men of Gomorrah, and there was five kings against four, they fell in the slime pits. But there were those that escaped, it says, to the mountain. And I just thought of what a difference there is between low ground and high ground. You know, this is what we've had today, is a little taste of the high ground. In the world that we find ourselves, it's low ground. It's low ground. You know, it's like to have your feet all wet and muddy. It's just not pleasant. Well, as we made our way to the meeting room there, we were trying to find these high places where we could step to stay out of the mud. And there would be sometimes three or four steps where there wouldn't be anything, and you'd have to step in the mud, and you'd get it all over you. We got to the other end, and we took up the subject of foot washing. It's not what we're going to do tonight. I was thinking a little bit, I want to look at one man, but before we do that, I'd just like to make a comment or two with regards to what we had before us this afternoon in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Looks like I'm going to have to keep my mouth right here in order to be heard. You hear me out there in the field? So, Luke chapter 12. I was thinking of this this portion we didn't get very far, and I appreciated the suggestion of this portion. I thought just for a second we could look at the context. So here we had he brought before us, "Fear not, little flock." I think our brother Ron mentioned where the name of our little flock came from. I appreciated that earlier they were looking at the name from Zechariah as the poor of the flock. And I thought, if you look at there, Zechariah, it's the time when Zechariah is taken away captive, and the poor of the flock were left. And they had tremendous blessing for them. But here, what characterizes the poor of the flock? Well, we find that in the context earlier in the chapter. And I enjoyed the list here, we won't go through it, but it says in verse 23, "Life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, they not sow or reap." So it speaks about the ravens, and I thought about the ravens and how wonderful it says that the Lord provides for the ravens. In our area, we find the ravens, the crows that are at our bird feeder, but they're also at the side of the road eating roadkill, so they eat anything. And there's all kinds of things provided for them. But at least they have wings to go and get the food to where they have to go. But think about the lilies. Think of the lilies here. It says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil. They spin not." Now, lilies don't have any wings to go and get that refreshment, to get that moisture. They are entirely dependent on the Lord. Entirely dependent on the Lord. And that is the point of the little flock that we have here. And so we are to be the same, entirely dependent upon the Lord. So what does it say about that in verse 28? "O ye of big faith," let's say that. It says, "O ye of little faith, O ye of little faith, fear not, little flock." Oh, I love those thoughts concerning that which should characterize our own souls as we go through this scene and we find much low ground. You know, the enemy has all kinds of slime pits, as we have that those in Sodom fell in, all kinds of slime pits. The enemy of our souls has a whole buffet for all of us to feed at, doesn't he? Oh, Lord, would have us to seek that high ground where we can feed on that which is good. Well, the one I wanted to look at is in the book, and I'm just going to do this for a minute, just to show what characterized this young person. It's in 1 Kings, chapter 14. We find here, young man, child, we don't know the age of him. It says in the first part of the chapter, "At that time Abijah the son of Jeroboam fell sick." I'm not going to go through this whole portion. It's a long one. You can read it when you get home. But Jeroboam, he really wanted to see this child raised. And I thought of this because the man Jeroboam, he doesn't have a very good connotation, does he? Every time we hear that name, we think of Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin. What a horrible king he was. But he had this son. And he sent his wife to try to disguise herself, to speak to the prophet, to see if the son that was sick, if he could be raised up. Well, I'm not going to go through the story, but let's go down to the what we find about this young person. It says in verse 13, "And all Israel," this is a forecast, this is a prophecy, or rather 12th verse, it says, "Arise thou therefore, and get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet entered into the city, the child shall die, and all of Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only is of Jeroboam that shall come to the grave, because in him there was found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam." You know, I thought of this in connection with this young person, and I thought of how highly the odds were stacked against this young person to go on for the Lord. They were just so highly stacked. And yet, here was someone who, if I could put it this way, was seeking high ground. Here was someone who had a tenderness towards the Lord. And what happened was the Lord took him out of the scene. And as we read further, we find that Jeroboam's family was a disaster. He was a disaster. He had the potential for such promise. If you go to the promises that were made to Jeroboam, if he would only follow the Lord, that there was going to be tremendous blessing, and he did anything but. And yet here, in this household that was beset with so many things that were against him, there was tenderness towards the Lord. Well, what about us here tonight? So many young people here. So many young people, and you know, as I said before, the enemy of our souls, he has this world so full of slime pits, so full of tar pits for us to fall into. And yet the Lord would have us to seek high ground. He would have us to have that tenderness. You know, as I was sitting in the meeting this afternoon, I was thinking, boy, these wonderful things, but boy, it seems like it's taken an awful lot of faith to be able to be characterized by these ones that lived at this time, to be characterized with the moral attributes of the kingdom. But it says about them, oh ye, of little faith. I love that. I love that every one of us can lay hold of that in such a way that we can seek outside the pits that the enemy has for us, those high places, where the Lord would have us to lay hold on that which is really life. You know, we spoke about home. And for those of us here older, we've got a few extra birthdays than you folks that are younger. Home sure looks good. It really looks good. And I understand, I remember when I was young, and the thought of home, yeah, it was nice, and I had pondered it with mild interest, and we enjoyed the thought of going home. But we are still here. We are still here, aren't we? You young folks. It's going to time, if the Lord leaves us here, that we don't have a lot of birthdays too. So what about between then and now? Oh, the Lord would have you to have a little faith. And to lay hold on what's really life. We read about the little flock. But think, young people, of the lily that we spoke about. What can a lily do to survive? It can't do a thing. It is totally dependent on the Lord for everything. And yet we read, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Oh, if every one of us had the dependence in our lives, like the lily, like this man the Lord saw, there was such tenderness toward him in such a way that the Lord just said, I'm going to take him home. What about us? Is there that tenderness towards the Lord? Is there that? We pick up all kinds of defilement. Do we seek the high ground, those places that are not defiling? It's wonderful to be here. We're not always here, though. Do we seek those things? Oh, that we might be like the lily, that we might be like Abijah, that have that tenderness towards the Lord. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank thee it's our privilege to be here. And to read from these blessed pages that which is so good for our soul. We thank thee for Abijah. And we pray that there will be that tenderness towards thee, our God, like him. We pray that we'd be like the lily in total dependence upon thee. We ask these things, our God. We're here in our great need, and we really need help with these things. And so we would ask for help tonight. We think of each one here, we're all in a different part of our journey. So many young ones here, our God, so much in this world to discourage. We just earnestly pray that they would reach out and lay hold on the things that are really life. And we'd ask these things, our God, as we await the return of that blessed one, our Lord Jesus. Take us home, and in his worthy name we pray. Amen.